work, whether she is or not. And so that has enormous implications for the health and the lives of trans people, especially trans women of color here in Queens, especially trans Latinas. And so that's another continuation of the work that I do both through Niagara and Queens Pride House. That's one formation. There are a number of others that are working on decriminalization of sex work, which is ultimately a state-level problem, because only through changing state law can we actually fully decriminalize sex work. Unfortunately, the city of New York is a creature of the state of New York, so city council legislation alone wouldn't be enough to effectuate that.
Pauline, thanks so much for joining us. It's been very lovely, and there's always a lot to learn from you and with you. So thank you.
Oh,
for
thank
that.
You, Ellen. It was great being on again. I hope to be on another time.
You bet.
There's so much to talk about, and maybe next time we could get into talking about adoption and the Adoption Citizenship Act, and the really interesting and complicated politics, which have a very major LGBT queer aspect to them.
Let's do that soon.
Yes.
All right, this has been Preference Calculated. Conversation is up next, and thanks to Somia in the booth for making all of this happen. It's been a pleasure.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Hip Hop Halloween on Saturday, November 2nd, from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge in Portland. Project Northwest and Arcadia Beats host Hip Hop Halloween, featuring performers Figure 8 AF, Contra Killas, and Dub Dynamic, a costume contest, tarot readings, and more. Project Northwest is a pro-black, pro-women, pro-queer online zine and showcase for hip-hop and R&B artists in the Pacific Northwest. Again, that's Hip Hop Halloween on Saturday, November 2nd, from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Outside the Frame Migration on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Outside the Frame trains homeless and marginalized youth to be directors of their own films and lives. Their annual gala showcases a collection of short films by and about invisible communities in plain sight, young Honduran trans women who walk to Oregon, houseless folks forced to migrate in their hometown, and much more. Again, that's Outside the Frame Migration on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
You're listening to KBOO, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. We just heard The Amazing Preference with Hedda, and next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken, and today is part two of their conversation about motivational interviewing with Casey Johnson. So this show has been pre-recorded, and the guys will be back next week.
Capabilities, and now I'm living in correction. no facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary. But my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky. When you got a subject and a predicate, add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself.
Yes, 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 it's the wonderful Calculated Conversation Radio Show. And the reason being, because there's just certain things we have to talk about. Got a lot of ground to cover. I'm your host, David Jefferson.
Cam Jones.
And we back again yet with episode 2 with Casey Jackson, Motivational Interviewing. How you doing, Case?
Good, doing great.
Can I say Case, man? Do your homeboys call you that?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
To shorten it up.
That's the nicer thing they called me.
Oh, okay, okay, hey, cool.
That all works.
Cool. And so we talked about motivational interviewing and a lot of your experiences. And so what organization exactly do you work with?
That I work with or that I
because oh, well, you got your own business too, right?
I started my own business.
So how does that tie in with, I'm curious, how does that tie in with what you do with MI and then with IFIOC, right?
IFIOC, yeah, the Institute for Individual and Organizational Change. I started that, sold my truck and started a company.
Really?
8 years ago, yep. And
was that a lead, like, was that a plan that you had?
Never.
Okay.
I never planned on doing that. I actually left. I was at faculty. I had a great job at Washington State University.
Okay.
Making good money, great benefits.
Is that Pullman?
Pullman. I was in the Spokane campus, but yeah.
It's Pullman. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's the Pullman. And it was one of those things, an ethical thing for me. I was making great money, great benefits, and they were charging so much money for administrative. So literally, if an agency called and they wanted my training, and I was going to charge $1,000. They started charging somewhere between, I shouldn't even be saying this, but they're charging somewhere between 26 and 42% administrative fee on top of that.
Mm.
So whatever the fee was, then they charged an additional 26 to 42%.
Jeez.
And the longer that went on, the more frustrated I got. I loved working for the group that I worked with and the umbrella I was under, but I just thought I want to make this more accessible to people.
Right.
And, you know, I love the university. There's a lot of things I liked about it. But just as a social worker, I just decided, you know, so many people are calling me. So many people want this training. I'm just going to leave a great position and start out on my own. And I thought a lot about the name. And that's where I thought I really want to help individuals and organizations change. That's
yes.
An Institute for Individual and Organizational Change. So I started that. And it's
that's 90, nice. I like that.
Yeah, 95% of it is based on motivational interviewing. And more and more, though, what we've tried to shift to and what we're growing towards is just same thing with calculated conversations, is it's just a method of communication. Because right. You say motivational interviewing, and nobody knows what the heck you're talking about.
Right.
And it's a method of communication. So we're trying to shift more away from that, and that's why we did start the podcast with the communication solution.
Right.
It's just, it's a communication solution.
Okay.
So that's
like
kind of
that.
A revolution. Yeah.
I was listening in on some of the little snippets I was able to come across. One of the things that you said was that cases may be different, but the strategy is the same.
Yes.
And I thought that was perfect and tied in with some of the things, you know, he says often in there. These formulas.
Yeah, they don't change.
That doesn't change. Those are not the variables.
No.
That's there.
No.
And, you know, hearing you say that and taking into account, again, if you have these standards and protocols set up, if you follow that.
Yes.
And you follow that to a T, then mm-hmm. You're most likely going to get the expected results.
Yes.
And that's something that they, we talk about working out earlier, like
right.
Going to the gym.
Right.
Okay? You go see a personal trainer. You get a plan put together. If you follow this like you're supposed to,
right.
Like you guys laid out, most of the time you'll get the result.
If you follow the plan.
If you follow the plan.
That's it.
And it'll happen every time.
Yes.
And that's, I think that big hard part is sticking to that. And being able to have the discipline to, not just the discipline, I think that is a big part, but also the faith in yourself,
yes.
right? And being able to move forward. You jumping out on a limb of like, I'm going from comfort,
yes.
security,
yes.
to I know that within myself I have what's necessary to get this going.
Yes.
And I know I'm going to make an impact.
Yes.
Jumping in. And look at us now.
That's it. That's exactly, that's why it just blows me away to even be here.
One of my biggest things, Casey, that I always talk about, you know, and Ken probably agree with me, is getting to the point of taking the decision away from yourself. I kind of feel like, especially with the workout thing, like just these examples just remind me of, you know, something I always tell myself is that I need to take the decision making away from myself. I mean, when people think a little bit too long and too hard, I feel like they're trying to talk themselves out of it. You know, when you know what you need to do, you know, when you know what results you want, you got to leave it up to, you know, the bigger picture, you know, like, you know, whatever's driving you. Like basically, you know, being in OSCI last weekend, one of my biggest messages to the inmates is, you know, take the decision away from yourself. You know, just know that there's a bigger picture. A lot of times we are trying to challenge what we know is right. When you think too hard, I feel like you're trying to challenge the universe, you know, and I don't believe in challenging the universe under no circumstances. You know, they know, you know, they typically operate from a long-term, you know, vision of the future. And if you kind of get in tune with that and stay loyal to that, essentially, I think you are being loyal to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, but a lot of times we talk ourselves out of what we know is right. You know what I mean? And I think that's the danger in it. And so, and that's something I've been working on a lot, especially when you know bringing up the gym, just getting in there, going, and it got to get to a point to where we forget about how we feel, forget about what we want to do, what we feel like doing, yeah. and just do what we need to do.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of that's what helps me work, man. That's what helps me do what I do, and it helps me stay focused, and it keeps me in check, you know, as per se, you know, because I know that if I make the decision, I'm not gonna go. I don't feel like going.
Right,
you know. I don't feel like going right now.
Right.
You know, but I know it's not up to me, and the message comes down from the universe. Well, you got to go.
Right.
You know, and I get up and I just go.
Right.
You know, and then the benefits start to just kind of, you know, unveil themselves, you know, as the process gets more consistent, you know, you stay more loyal to that. And so that's one of the big things that, you know, I think is helpful. What do you think about?
No, I agree with that. And I think you take that concept and you connect with what Ken was talking about earlier as well too, and it goes to the whole thing about the why again too. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get up and you necessarily get up from the couch and go to the gym,
right?
But do you want to be around for your kids? And that's why for me, if you stay more focused on the why, mm-hmm. instead of the what and the how,
right?
It's easier to step over that hump or to get your butt off the couch, because right. it's like, if the question is, do you love your children? The question, yes. Then it's like, right. Well, why aren't you at the gym working out? I mean, it just, I need to go do that.
Right.
Instead of, well, did you make it to the gym today? No, it's been busy. I'm exhausted. Right. I got so much to do.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. Right.
Because you lose sight of the why and you're so focused on what you need to do or how you need to do it. And that's where a lot of frustration or tension or resistance gets right. generated from.
Yes. And I think that translates to just across the board. It's the idea of working out. Everything is a muscle. It's repetition. I think one of the most recent books that I'm juggling is the power of habits. And understanding how many things we're doing, we're just operating off of this habit. You know, the place that I sit down, I know when I sit on my couch, I have to stop sitting in that middle spot, because then I get comfortable.
It's go all sit about
at the
comfort.
Computer chair.
Yep.
It's a whole different flow.
Yes. Yeah, that's funny.
Get crazy amount of stuff done. I know that if I sit on the right side, I'm going to lean. Now I'm going to be tired. Right. It's going to kick in. I understand what that's going to do. When I go in my room, because I don't hang out in the room, when I go in my room and lay down, I'm out of there.
Right.
It's instant sleep.
Yes.
And these are the things that I don't lose keys. I don't lose. It's systems. My wallet gets set in the same place every time. If something comes up missing, that's probably the times where you'll see me like it automatically blaming somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I sit stuff. I've done this for so long. So that means somebody grabbed that.
Ken, you need to come train my kids.
Hey,
so you train them in that system right there. I told them, where are your shoes? I can't find my shoes. Yeah, well, where did you put them?
Right.
If you put them in the same spot right. every time, guess where they're going to be?
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
You definitely need to come train my kids. Yeah.
But it's in there, and it's just understanding that real, the power of habits and creating these small habits. And I think that's the big thing is the big changes. And
right.
Going into like the eating healthy and doing all that, I allow myself to still have that moment of being like, you've done, like, don't get frustrated because you got crazy hungry. Today I ate my dinner before coming here. And it was just like, well, I'm not upset about it. I didn't space out my...
Well, how would you normally do it?
Once I get from here. So usually after the show is when I get home and do all that.
Okay.
And so I had, instead of an 8:30 dinner, I had a 4:30.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I did the reverse. See, that's why I'm still hungry.
But,
so, I'll try that next time.
But it's just, it's allowing that little piece in there
yeah.
that I found that it works, so I'm not beating myself up. You know,
yeah.
and that applies to many other things. But just picking up on your routines and putting effort into the small steps that get
yeah.
you to the bigger idea, whatever change it is that you're trying to make, because people do the drastic change, like tomorrow, like, oh, I'm gonna throw all the good stuff out and only eating kale soup.
Right.
No, right. That's gonna work for 3 days.
Tops.
Then it's over.
Right.
And it's over. But if you start replacing little pieces in the meals, right?
Right.
Okay, we cut down on, you know, how much protein we're putting in here. You know, make some shifts like that. That's usually what builds you up to be sustainable.
Exactly.
And that crash course, a lot of people crash course is making these drastic changes, and I think that's where we find people failing.
Right.
You know, I've been in that boat many a times.
Right,
like,
right.
We're going to just do this. Oh, we're going running? Cool, we're going to do 10 miles. Like, we ain't ran in 6 months. What are we
right, doing? Slow down.
Right, now I can't walk for 2 days, so we're not doing this again. So.
Well, there's a whole new movement that's for the last several years now. It's one of my colleagues that I train with. He's in the healthcare world, and it's lifestyle medicine, which means it's not the 10-mile run, the
yes.
doing a crash diet. It's literally lifestyle
yes.
medicine. You're changing your lifestyle. It's not that you're going on a diet. It's not that you're going to start exercising. You literally need to start to incorporate what do you want your lifestyle to be,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
means you need to start working on your lifestyle, which is way different than, like you're talking about, it just can't be the crash diet. It just
yeah.
can't be the I'm going to run the 10 miles and think I'm going to be in shape. Or
yes.
It's a lifestyle. Do you want to be different 2 years from now?
Right.
Then it means you need to start making some changes now.
Right.
Right there, that dedication. And I think a good thing, too, another piece that I took from you was you said about the jungle gym. Needing to kind of have your scaffolding set up before you jump on there doing gymnastics.
Yes.
And just how important really dialing your framework in.
Yes.
Once you have that, I think that's another thing that a lot of people are missing. They may have the A and then they know what their goal is.
Right.
But it's how do we structure that in between? And I think that's where you find people.
We were just talking yeah. about this a break.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is where people watch 17 seconds.
Yeah.
So they want to put the roof on and decorate all this stuff. And it's like, but you need to have the scaffolding in place
yes.
first.
Yes.
You need to have your foundation, but they want to have the perfect house
right,
right out of the gate. They want to have the perfect structure, the perfect relationship.
Yes.
It's like, this literally takes a process. It takes time, and you need to build it solid if you want it to be solid.
Yes.
You can't be thinking about these things 2 years down the road if you don't even have the basics in place.
Yeah.
Foundation
is every and all things. And, you know, I think that's something I've talked about on the show before with some other guests of, like, you know, that are in entrepreneurs or have their business, small business going, and the process. We see success, and we see that part. And you've got to lay out those pieces in between.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, with this show,
right,
one of the
right.
things that we talk, because I try to be as open as possible, my stumbles, my falls, and Absolutely. So on, because
mm-hmm.
this isn't I never want to come across people and then to have this idea of me being here. One of the things I run with is, even with my children, I say this all the time, I never want them to get 21 and shatter what they thought of me.
Right.
So we're talking about certain things. I can tell you where I'm wrong. I can do all that, and I will do that
yes.
so that you don't become an adult and be like, who are you?
Yes.
But understanding for people that just see this quick snapshot
right.
and see the great parts, see all the good, and not understanding what actually comes with that.
Right.
You know, like you mentioned earlier, putting this stuff together, it took a very long time for me to know what I need first off.
Yes.
Right.
Then on the back end of what software, what chain I'm going to have to put in to make sure this audio comes out, how it's supposed to come out. Like, that's a lot of time.
Yes.
Right? I can make a quick 1 minute how-to.
Yes.
But that took a lot of years to pull together.
That's it.
And that's the part that I think gets missing as our attention spans and so on get shorter, because we want that immediate gratification.
Immediate gratification.
Yeah. Like, even sooner than immediate. Like,
yeah.
and that's why showing the struggle is probably one of the most important things that I think a lot of successful people miss out on. We always see the end result, and people get fascinated, I think, with the end result. And they be like, oh, and when you practice it for a long time, like, I feel like, you know, I speak for myself and hopefully can too. And you, I mean, practicing this idea of social awareness, this idea of challenging, you know, arts, maybe some traditions or some formulas we were raised in, trying to be, you know, trying to see the beauty in being open-minded, you know, trying to connect with the idea of being compassionate, especially, you know, trying to dive into exactly what empathy is and how it works and how to use it. And then, you know, going deeper into being able to explain it and get on air and be on the radio and be teaching people.
Right.
It's a long process.
It is a long process.
And I think sometimes we might make it look too easy, you know, which is why, you know, me and Ken consistently try to push the idea, the truth on air that we're still learning.
Absolutely.
You know, and we've done a lot of work to get to this point, but we got a long ways to go. And it's not an overnight thing. And so that immediate gratification idea and people wanting things today, I think is what sets people back often, you know, just as far as them being honest with themselves about the process and being able to go through. It's a tough process, and only the strong survive in it. But if you see the end goal, I like to keep talking about, you know, the end zone. You know, you can possibly create a formula to, you know, to travel those roads and stay there once you get there and be able to bring people with you as time goes on. You know, go ahead, bro.
I was going to pass a question off to you because you mentioned kind of earlier just kind of sometimes people needing to have that in them, like that drive in there. And being that you're in the space in which you are of trying to get to that point of figuring out what drives, have you found age to play any part in being able to dig in and find that motivation?
I think instinctually, it's why I always gravitated towards adolescents to teenagers, because it seems like they were in that kind of magical zone. One foot in childhood, one foot in adulthood, one foot not in adulthood. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, you know, teenagers being idealistic, or, you know, they think they can do anything. Yeah. Or, so I think they more readily have access to that. Mm-hmm. And I think the older we get, I think a lot of times for people, they just get worn down because they run into so many barriers, or life is not the way they think it's going to play out, or they have those struggles. And then all of a sudden that pops back up when people hit their golden years, that it's like, you know what? I stressed over way too many things.
Right.
And now I'm really clear what is important.
Right.
And I think those things, that whole balance that I think, so I do think there's some age specific things, but kids believe they can be anything.
Yeah.
So many kids believe they can be anything before that's extracted from them.
right.
And then, by God, a teenager believes they're going to get it. You're too stupid, you know, to know how smart they are and how they're going to be able to get it. And then life smacks them around a little bit, and then we get humbled, and then and then we either hang on to those dreams or their goals or our why, or they get lost in the fact that we got to get up and take two buses to get to McDonald's to make, you know, barely minimum wage, and you know, I'd like to have dreams, but I need to put food on the table for my kids, who I only get to see every other weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think those things we get sucked into for people can start to get us distracted from the value. So I think there's age-related aspects of it, but I think it's always inside. I mean, I think all three of us know, everybody listening knows, everybody has it inside of them.
Yes, I agree. So. I agree. I'm in the zone with you. Like, that's where I think the demographic that I would gravitate towards, it's always been the teens.
Yeah, me too.
It's just that's an area, because again, it's in that the sweet zone.
Yes.
Right.
They genuinely believe anything is possible.
Yes.
And that adults have screwed it all up.
Right, right.
And nurturing that is everything.
And then,
absolutely.
Then they need more adults to, you know, show them that actually you're right, anything is possible.
Yes.
And, you know, and we're here and we come from the same place.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's the beauty in it all.
To keep encouraging.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, circle back around to that you were talking about earlier, David, and all three of us have talked about, and it's not a motivational learning. This is more of a personal kind of evolution thing on my own belief system and faith and just my own coming to that and my own time and pace. Mm-hmm. One of the most impactful experiences I ever had in my own kind of meditation and conversations with God, and it touches a little bit on what you hit. It's like, I always thought if I could get to a place, anybody, if you could have a conversation with God, what would you ask? And when I got to this space where I thought I could, I asked all the big questions. Mm-hmm. You know, why is there war? Why is there rape? Why is there poverty? Why, you know, why don't you step in? You know, all those kind of questions we want to ask. And one of the most impactful things that hit me, and it really struck me, David, when you were talking, and Ken, what you were just talking about as well too, is it's a phenomenal concept to think about. And when I was in this zone, in this meditation, what came to me is 50% destiny, 50% choice. And it's when you were talking about turning it over to the universe on one hand, and on the flip side, do we stay focused on our why?
Right.
And those two constructs alone was like, this is the message that came to me in terms of 50% destiny, 50% choice. There has been, you know, some blessings and inheritance that have been laid out for me.
Right.
But you got to get off the couch.
Right.
And
right.
Do you want to combine those two constructs that you've been given so many things that you're unaware of?
Right.
That you have this inheritance that you've been granted, but you also have to stand up and take steps forward and take hold of that inheritance you've been given. And I love that concept, the way that it came through to me, like not even 49:51, which we tend to defer too much sometimes to things that are greater than us, but 50.0 to 50.0, like neither one has. What a beautiful relationship between us and the universe, or us and life, or us and creation, or us and God. Yes. You know, that we have so much power that goes to 50.0.
Yeah.
And
right.
And the universe has so much power that goes to 50.0. And it's like, wow, what a perfect. Right. But what are we going to do with that inheritance we've been given? And I think this is the whole thing we're talking about.
Right.
Because you've talked both sides about sometimes you just need to surrender, but we do need to take stock of what do we value? Do we have that innate desire and drive and goal?
Right.
And are we going to take stock of that and put the investment into to capitalize on that as well too?
Right.
And once you realize that's how much power you have,
yes,
that's where you have a relationship with life, you know, and you start to capitalize on that and build things that we couldn't even. There is no way any one of the three of us could have conceptualized 10 years ago, this is where we'd be sitting.
Oh, no, it's definitely not.
There's just no way.
No.
And to think that's putting one foot in front of the other, and now we're having these conversations and having this impact on people that are genuinely trying to find their way in the world as well, too, through communication.
Right.
Because we stepped up and tried to do to the best of our ability, and we fell and screwed up and all the things we did along the way. You know, shot ourselves in the foot and then bandaged it up and tried it again. And so it's just such a fascinating concept when you're talking about that. It just reminded me of that moment in my own life about that was such a powerful time of thinking about that perfect relationship or that perfect balance when we're thinking about where we exist.
Yeah. I often think about that and, you know, think about like who I am and why I am. It's so weird to me that, you know, it's come to this. It just didn't make sense to me at first, but then again, you know, I didn't question, you know, like I know I was born with that 50%, and, you know, a lot of people would like to always, you know, a lot of people like to consider us, you know, intelligent, genius, smart, above the rest. And when I look at it, I struggle with seeing all that. And the only thing I really see is, you know, the only thing I can take credit for is, you know, having the gall to actually listen and apply. That's where my success is.
Absolutely.
I heard the message and I said, all right, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. And I won't ask any questions.
That's exactly it, David.
You know, other than that, it's like I can't really be, you know, put on a pedestal or be rewarded for just what I was born with, absolutely, what I was given. You know what I mean? But yeah, I will listen. And I think that's why we're able to shine and we're able to get this message out, you know, and connect with like minds and have these conversations, you know?
That is crazy to hear that, because I've ran into the same situation. It's like, you're so smart, how do you figure this stuff out?
Yeah.
And I know I'm not the smartest man on the planet, but the thing that I've always taken credit for is I'm willing to listen.
Yeah.
It's when you said that, I'm like, that's like I can listen to what comes through my brain I'm shocked at things that come out of my mouth because I know I'm not that smart.
Right. You too?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man.
Absolutely.
But that's crazy.
But what I'll take credit for, I won't take credit for the wisdom or the things that come out of my mouth.
Right.
But I will take credit for the fact that I'll lower my ego enough to just listen and not take credit for it, because it is uncomfortable when people try to give you credit for things that internally you know, I wish I could take credit. I wish I was that smart. I wish I did put all this stuff together.
Right, right.
But it's from greater people than I that I've read books on or listened to or studied. And then I've listened well enough that I can kind of put it together in a cohesive thought.
Right.
And if people find value in that, that's really, I almost just want to leave it there and kind of back away and go, "You, that was helpful. Don't let me screw it up then. Because if I talk about it too much or my ego gets involved, I will blow this thing up so painfully." So just listen to you talk. I'm like, that's I'll take credit for listening. For the wisdom. That's
in addition to that, it makes me think of a specific situation where when I was teaching myself audio engineering, and this was, I was 20, and what I would do is go get printers from Walmart because they would let you return them. It was cheaper to get a new printer than to get a new ink cartridge.
Yes.
So what I would do is sit up at night, kid was down, on the computer Googling just how printing out pages.
Right.
Right now, I have so many instruction manuals for coding and so on that I want to be able to flip through and have that. That's where my skill set is.
Right.
I'm going to investigate this. Yeah. I'm going to get down into the weeds. I'm going to put the effort and the time into that. And like you said, it's a bunch of knowledge that's way greater than mine. I just took the time to take this in.
Yes.
Take this in and be able to listen to people who do have more knowledge than me in an area. And even if I think I know something, still shut up.
Right.
And listen. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Because it may hit another way hearing it from someone else.
Yes.
And I may be able to articulate this better next time to help convey whatever this idea is. And it makes me feel weird. I say this all the time. Like when people are giving too many pats on the back, it's kind of like,
it's hard to take it, man.
We're just here. We're just doing this.
Yes.
We're talking. And I think that's why, even with us all doing this, where this is the conversation that we have with a mic off.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what we do. So it feels like how.
Right.
How are people taking this the way that they do when we're just doing us.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, just listening and you know, and taking the notes from the bigger picture, you know, and seeing that, you know, that's the only talent. Like me and Ken, the only way this show really came about is because, you know, just us being in sort of similar industries and knowing each other, we would just bump into each other. And typically with most people, you have to, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Bye." But we couldn't do that. We would stop and talk no matter what we were doing for 30 to 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't choose Ken, you know, to be on this show, and I didn't choose to have this show. It was a call that was bigger than me. And I said, "If that's what you want, fine.
That's it.
You know, if you want Ken to be the co-host, fine."
Yes.
You know, like, you know, not questioning it and then seeing the beauty and not doing that and letting go.
Yes.
And my decisions becoming easier and easier as I get older and wiser. And everybody think I'm making the best decisions, not knowing I'm just doing what I'm told, man. You know, like, do what your mama tell you to do, man. And that's really it. And you'll be fine. But.
Yes.
So I just, you know, the goal for this show is to encourage people to become more in tune with yourself, more more captivated by the bigger picture. Realize that it's bigger than you. If I thought it was just me and I'm the only one I got to be loyal to, then we wouldn't have to have this conversation. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so really seeing that and then seeing the benefits in that and just kind of letting go of ego, my own decision making, my own experiences. And what me and Ken always talk about on the show is being willing to challenge everything you've ever known.
Yes.
Part.
To see what's bigger out there.
Yes.
You know, and that's what's got us here having this conversation, man. And again, like, we enjoy doing this. And I know you do too. That's why I was like, let's get Casey on here.
This is my happy place.
Let's talk about it, man.
This is my happy place.
Right.
Me always wanting to know the whys of things. So jumping back into Casey, you getting going on your, I'm selling the truck. I'm going all in. You structure in this, you setting your own framework up. Do you feel that you were able to put that together fairly easy because this has been something that you've been doing for so long? Do you feel like that transition for you was fairly easy? I mean, I know it's
the thing that I said when I hired a staff pretty quick. Mm-hmm. because I had a contract in place, a pretty decent contract. So okay. I knew I could, and what I'd read, because I'm not a business, I'm a social worker. I was never a business person. Okay. Still, 8 years later, I'm still not a business person. And my staff will tell you that. I still remember when we sat down to develop our vision statement, our mission statement, our very first retreat we did right after I opened the doors and had a team together. And what I told them and what I've stuck with from the beginning, and and when I forget about it is when my stress starts to increase, is when we are no longer of value, I can't guarantee that you guys are going to have jobs. Because the only reason we should be around is if we're offering value to people. And if what we do isn't of value, we all need to be doing something else that's of value. So I'm not going to fight tooth and nail to keep the business open.
Right.
But I think what we do provides value.
Right.
And if it does, then we should be able to pay our bills. That'd and if fine. We don't, then you guys are meant to be in other places doing other things, and I'm meant to be in another place doing other things. And it was the same thing we were talking about with transparency around salary, too. I just share all the financial stuff with the team because it's not my burden to carry. We're a team, so everybody needs to know what's going on.
Right.
And if you want to work for that, but then we also don't have personal time off either. Everybody takes off the time they went off. There's not like 2 weeks off or it's just they love what they do and they get to do what they do. So on that level, I didn't have to manage a whole lot.
Okay.
But then there's so many things like I swore I never wanted to have policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. Like nobody reads them anyway. It's just but legally you have to have policies and procedures. Okay. Like there's stuff like, and I don't want to do that. So I just tell people, go steal them from somebody else.
Right.
Like if there's a policy or procedure. So I mean, there's the nuts and bolts of a business. Right. Like you read manuals.
Yeah.
There's stuff and licenses and certifications that you have to have if you want to have a business that I have no desire to put energy into, but it's necessary. So those parts of it were more of a pain in the butt that I didn't want to have to deal with, but they're the necessary parts of having a business. But to show up and not, we're 8 years in and I just hired Tammy, you know, earlier this year. Up until now, I've never marketed ever in 8 years. It's always been word of mouth. Even my
energy.
And it's energy and it's word of mouth. And so the more successful and the more it's value added, the more people talk.
Yeah.
Especially when we work with large organizations and their outcomes and their performance starts to turn around, then people want to know how did that happen.
Right.
And when your name's associated with it, then you know, or the body cam footage comes out with officers using motivational interviewing.
Right. That was powerful.
That's like our community doesn't do that. That guy would have gotten shot. That guy would have gotten tased. Like that, those are the things that they say. Like this does not happen in our community. We need to have to come our community. And it's like so I guess it's marketing by doing the right thing for the right reason. So I mean that's the long answer to the business side of it. There's nuts and bolts that I still don't think I'm a particularly good business person.
Okay.
But I do like we're talking about. We love what we do. You guys love what you do.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Love what I do, and it comes across. And I am never bored. Like when I post on social media, I cannot believe every day when I go home from work or I'm flying on a plane or whatever, it's like, I cannot believe I'm paying my mortgage. Like
that's crazy, right?
By hanging out with people that I just genuinely, people I just met that just genuinely want to make a difference in the world and I have information that helps them be there more efficiently and more effectively. I mean, who gets to do that? I mean, it's crazy. So it's all these things about business that I think if I ever took, when I've taken it as a business is when I've gotten stressed. The first 2 years, I ended up with 2 coronary stents my first 2 years after I opened because I'm working 60, 70, 80 hours, you know, and I have two-year-old daughters and trying to make it all work. And when I was trying to make it successful is when I was just eating myself up inside because you can never get it all done. And then when you step back and just go, just show up, tell the truth, do your best. And if you're meant to be around, do exactly what you've always told your staff. If you do that, you're either meant to be or it's not meant to be.
Yes.
And once the health issues got over, you know, 6 years later, and it's just like, okay, I'm, you know, I don't overstress. I don't work more than usually, more than 40 hours a week, unless I'm traveling a lot. It's just when I'm home, I'm with my kids.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm with my family doing what I need to do, and I'm not going to stress about work stuff.
Yes.
And when I'm doing work stuff, I knock it out, you know, I just put 100%. So it's worked for 8 years. So
when you're in the zone of doing your works, do you have a room or something when you're trying to brainstorm? Do you have a space?
Where do you create at?
I do have a space.
You got a space?
I've got my little office space. And actually, I don't even go to work. I have an office that I can use at work.
Okay.
There's a building that I bought. But at home in my office, it's I can see outside, I can see nature, so I don't get too crazy focused.
Right.
And it just, I think being able to see nature keeps me balanced. And I can get really creative. And I love, thinking outside the box, and I work with people, my whole team, most everybody on my team thinks outside the box, okay. except for the people that need to know how to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Right.
Right.
I don't need them to think outside the box. They just need to tell me what to put the box in and how to get the box mail. But then the rest of the team, it's just, and I love that process. And so, yeah, having a space, I've got a space where I can do that. Okay. And that's important to me.
Okay.
So, with the idea of motivational interviewing, I know that you didn't create the initial concept. Something tells me, though, that you have your own twist to it.
Oh, yeah.
Something tells me that you might be better at it than a lot of other people pushing the same agenda, or that you have other creative ways of making those connections.
Yes.
What do you think those ways? What do you think you do different than the other people that push, you know, without taking nothing from them, but just different, not saying better, but just
different. I think one of the things that I'm lucky, it's, you know, there's books on it, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert or even think you're an expert. And I don't think I'm an expert. And I have more than 10,000 hours into this. I'm lucky enough that not everybody that trains on it gets to train on it as much as I do. Like I literally train on it nearly every single week. Every week of every year, and I've been doing that for 8 years. And most people, they train their agency maybe once or twice a year, or they do. So, I mean, I literally am immersed in this. So that's why I think if I have a leg up, it's because I'm overly immersed in it. I'm overly obsessed with it.
Nice.
And so there's specific ways, like the training you went through. Mm-hmm. If you'd go through 50 other trainings with 50 other trainers, you would have learned something very specific from all 50 of those that I didn't even teach you guys.
Right.
Because I don't think it's going to help you in the long run change behavior.
Right.
And so for me, it's less sticking to the model as it was dictated and more about what do we know is going to move behavior for the long run. And these are the things. So there's those twists that I've really learned through experience and just the outcomes that I've seen in organizations I've worked with. Like one of the fundamental things, and this is really controversial, is a lot of people say that motivational wing is relationship based. And we got into this a little bit in the training you were in, David.
Right.
And the longer I've been in it, what I realized is actually relationship screws up really good focus on behavior change because the more we focus on the relationship, the less time you're paying attention to yourself and your own behavior. You're either justifying it to me, you're trying to explain it to me, and not every conversation is meant to be a behavior change based conversation of motivation wing that's values based. So you don't use it in every conversation, but if you're using this model, and this is controversial in the international evidence-based practice of motivational interviewing, that is not the popular thing to say. People teach this as a relationship-based. But when you think about it, if you and I have a relationship, David, and you're trying to work on behavior change, there's times you won't tell me everything because you don't want me to be disappointed in what you've been thinking about. Well, that's not helpful. We need to get into what's real. You may get frustrated with me because I didn't call you back sometime. And so then the way you start to explain something to me, you're a little bit angry at me because it's something that has nothing relevant to what we talked about right now.
Right.
Everything that's relationship based can actually contaminate me stepping inside your reality without judgment and you being honest and accurate and pure about where your brain is at, knowing that there's no judgment about how you think or feel. All we're trying to do is resolve your ambivalence about is your behavior in alignment with your values?
Right.
Not what does Casey think about it?
Not our values.
Exactly. And that is not normal communication in mainstream culture. It's so based on relationship. Yes. And did I make you angry? And did I step on your toes? That is when you're thinking about an individual resolving ambivalence, that is all wasted friction. It's just friction that doesn't help it move faster and further. It's just physics.
Right.
And so that's one thing I know that very few people, if anybody, teach it in terms of physics. I like to talk about it in terms of human physics. So it's not gimmicky about, okay, let's not use I statements or let's use this or let's do this or make sure you ask an open-ended question. Well, that's all mechanical, but that doesn't necessarily teach people how do you engage in a true process that can be transformative for another human being. That's way more complex than a whole set of questions and reflections and how do we structure that. So, and on the flip side, I have such a profound, and so why I've never, so many people have said, why don't you call it something else and you claim it? I have such a profound respect for the amount of research that's been put specifically into motivational interviewing.
Right.
It is built off of very solid structure. When you were picking up the things about, Ken, about the scaffolding when I was talking about that.
Yes.
You start to take some of that away and it can start to fall apart. But you can shape it differently and have it more effective too and strengthen some of it.
Yes.
So that's what I think. I'll never vary from the fundamental structure of it.
Right.
But the ways that I have varied, people have found it like I've been through, I hear this, you had probably four people in the training you were in come up to me saying, I've been through 40 hours of MI training. I never learned this. Like, this makes everything make sense to me.
Yes.
And everywhere I've trained all over the country and outside of the country, it's the same thing. I've been through so many trainings on motivational wing. I never learned this, and now it all makes sense. So I think those things are differently because that is such a consistent theme, no matter where I train, hearing those kind of things.
Well, I just learned today that you didn't create the program because I the way you laid it out, man, I was for sure it was your idea.
No, I wish.
You know, and then somebody I work with told me, was like, well, yeah, you know, that's been around for a while. I was like, oh man, I thought he created it. No. But yeah, man, I really like the way you did that. And again, like, speaking of the universe and not, you know, and not making my own choices, I mean, I like to relax. Like, I'm a little bit shy and, you know, sometimes standoffish, but the vibes that I got, the connection that I got from the bigger picture was like, you got to talk to him. You have to. Like, it's not up to you. You know, and that's why I came out. I was like, hey, man, you know, so and so. Because I knew, I was hoping one day we got to this point and now we're here.
That's it.
You know, and it's an amazing thing. You had a question.
I was just with kind of, you know, you taking that framework and shaping it to make it work for you, right? To where you have these conversations, you hold these events, and people are coming to you letting you know, like, this is, I've done this before, but this is hitting.
Yes.
And it ties into, I think, probably one of the most profound things I've heard in the last month, we'll say a month, of find your uniqueness and exploit it.
Yes.
Right.
Exploit yourself.
Yes.
You find that piece. Who cares how many people are doing this thing?
Right.
Make it yours based on what you bring to it.
That's it.
And I think that's where it gets standing out. You get some people who are not able to think outside of the box, so it's like, I need step A, B, C, D. And it's like, okay, cool, let me run through those steps, and now how can I tweak this to make this, you know, fit me? Because if I'm trying to stick to this, there's going to be things that pop up and you don't know how to deal with it because you're not operating under who you are.
Exactly.
In the way in which you would deal with this, right? There's definitely an edge. You know, I talk about this often where I'm like, if I was ever to have been in school as a school counselor or something, I'd probably get in trouble for cursing. Just how I talk, right?
Me too.
And, and so that's straight up. But it's never in a way that it's been taken by kids. We interact a certain type of way. They enjoy it. They know I'm not doing this in a way of demeaning or so on. Right. There's just some colorful, some things are said much better.
Yes. More accurately.
More accurately.
Yes.
It paints the picture much better, right?
Yeah, like on Lean On Me, Sam Jackson.
Right, yes.
They loved him.
Yeah, oh yes.
And so understanding that's a piece that gets brought to, you know, these tables, I in many spaces, just being in many spaces and realizing, being comfortable with who I am, the way I communicate. I know we can have these conversations from here to here.
Yes.
And cover all the topics. And we can do this. And, you know, these couple of little things that, you know, I might pronounce words a certain way, that's not taking anything away from, you know, what's here and what's here.
Exactly.
Right.
And as long as that's translating through what you're doing, that's the thing that's going to sit on people. Because I think we're so good at being able to kind of recognize where somebody's not fitting in their skin.
Right.
Yes.
We can pick up on that. I don't think some people are not aware that it just something's off and you're trying.
Right.
But when I see people who are fully okay and you can tell this is just them all the time. Like, they don't need alcohol, they don't need it, they're just always alive.
That's who they are.
That's
it.
I can take that.
Yes.
And I can deal with that because I know what to expect.
Yes.
It's you. Right? Mm-hmm. So I just want to point that out. Again, exploit your uniqueness, and clearly that's what's being done.
You know, the other thing that struck me just kind of coming to my brain as we've been talking, you know, when we're talking about the inheritance piece or trusting the universe, or you know, can people see those values, can they take hold of those values or that uniqueness inside of them and move forward, or this whole thing about being on a pedestal or people looking up or not understanding the journey, when you think about it almost literally, the things that we have in common that we've been talking about, just like first time you and I have ever met, and you know, and just the brief conversations we've had, if you take a couple of core constructs or core values, integrity, all three of us are truly trained to operate with a high level of integrity. Doesn't mean we hit it every single day, but it's what we wake up with the intention of doing, to be honest, to have a humility that you want to learn. And if every day you're taking steps towards that, and let's just say that those are at the top of the mountain, that focus mountain concept that I was teaching before. If those are concepts at the top of the mountain, and if every day you take steps in your life to move towards that, everybody wants to be airlifted up to where they see you at.
Yes.
And people see you at a certain level, both of you at a certain mm-hmm. level, and they just want to be airlifted up there, or they think, oh my God, you're up on this mountain. It's like, do you know how much we've climbed?
Yes.
And days we've gotten lost?
Yes.
To get up here. And all you need to do is put one foot in front of the other and trip over rocks and get up and bring enough water and forget yeah. stuff, then go back and grab it and keep walking. But if you keep walking towards that integrity,
yeah,
that quality of life, yeah. then you move further up the mountain. And the thing is that people get so distracted that they don't do it. That means there's less and less people you run into. So we run into these kind of conversations that we're having right now yes. because every day we're trying to do that.
Yes.
But there's not millions of people up there.
Right, right.
Most of the people are down at the bottom of the mountain pointing at the people up there going, oh my gosh, how did they get up there? That's so amazing. Yeah, How'd you do that? It's like, because we got up and we keep putting one foot in front of the other every day. It's not because we're special. It's not because you're gifted. It's not because we're smarter.
Right.
It's because we found our North Star. We found our compass, mm-hmm. the top of the mountain, and that's what we try to live by every day. And when you do that, since that's not the norm, there's fewer and fewer people on that part of the mountain.
Yes.
Right.
And that's, you tend to run into people like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just as we're talking about this, it just reinforces all these things we've talked about. There's nothing special or unique. There's a massive amount of humility to it, but it's just, are you trying to live your best, most authentic life, right. being the best person right. you can be, but every day you need to show up and not sit in the middle of the couch. You need right. find a different place to study. Don't yeah. do anything in the bedroom until it's time to sleep. Like right. it's just, until you change those things, you're not putting one foot in front of the other, and it's not going to change, you yes. know? And you can just be mad and just say, oh, my life sucks and I don't have any choices and the world's beating me down. It's like, what?
As a fun fact with that, I put in, so where I'm lined up in the middle of my couch, I got a little whiteboard, maybe like a 12 by 12, and it says, complete the effing task. That's so, when I'm sitting here and I want to watch some TV, it's look up.
Yeah, I seen that. I was like, is he going crazy?
Yeah, nah, that's so.
I was like, nah, he's being direct with himself.
I need to go finish what I was working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I need that.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of that last comment you made, you know, just about the process and, you know, people want to get to that level and seeing, you know, us getting up there. Do you find, I mean, I know I find that people don't really, I'm not saying, I know it's not easy because it's a process, but I find that people don't realize that it's really as simple as changing your mindset, you know, and habits, like you said.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, I think a lot of times it's keeping people from, you know, treading that, going down that road. It just sounds too easy. You know, like nobody really can. Most people, I don't think, can imagine that their entire life would change, you know, by changing a few habits and yep. a mindset. That's the only thing that really, I feel like, separates, you know, us and people that are becoming more enlightened, more aware, you know, from the norm. And not a different set of circumstances, for sure. You know, not a different past. Just a matter of, you know, just kind of reinforcing, I think, your individuality upon the world instead of letting the world enforce their norms on you.
That's it. And I think you take that and the concept we were talking about earlier about this 50% destiny, 50% choice.
Right.
Is you don't let it influence you, but you set your intention and you don't give up when barriers are thrown in your way. You trust that that's a communication with God or with life.
Yes.
You're just saying,
yes.
you just got to step around this way then. You don't just throw it up in the air and just go, okay, that's never going to work. It just means trust the process as well, too.
Right.
So keep living with integrity. Keep walking towards the thing you need to. Keep taking your steps. There's going to be days you run into a cliff that you can't, you know, cross or whatever. And it just means this is the other 50%. You're not in control of everything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And don't get frustrated. Something's wrong. This could be the perfect thing to happen.
Yes.
If you can set back. And like we've talked about, if you can listen and have faith that you're not on this journey alone. You've got several things influencing that. And I think you take the concept you're talking about, David, and it's just, that's how it starts to weave together.
Yeah. It seems to me that, you know, as far as, you know, me looking into myself, just people in general, just studying the idea of humanity, one of the key factors is for everybody, you know, in their ascension to, you know, walk into in their calling is what do you do when things don't go your way? You know, I feel like that's kind of almost the beginning of, you know, how far you go, how aware you are of yourself, you know, how determined you are to succeed. What do you do when things don't go your way? And I think that's the measure, you know, of a lot of people's capacity, you know, to step over hurdles and, you know, get to the sunshine.
Absolutely.
You know.
And that's in those moments, all I keep thinking, when I have those things happen to me, the first thing I think of is life is trying to talk to you right now.
Right.
If things aren't going your way,
it means something.
That means something. That means 50%. The other 50% is raising their hand right now to let you kind of right. to fill in the blanks of what you're
right.
missing.
Right.
That's like my favorite thing from tonight. I'm putting extra circles around that.
Which one was that?
50% destiny, 50% choice. Like that.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key, man. I'm just glad, man, that we had a chance to get you out here, and you flew out here.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you flew here just to talk to us, man.
Absolutely.
And we don't take that for granted at all.
Well, it's mutual.
Well, I want to give you the platform right quick to give all your information.
Where do they find you at? How can they enjoy?
Well, it depends on where you want to find us at. So, well, we're the Institute for Individual and Organizational Change, or most people just shorten it to IFIOC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing for everything. Facebook at the IFIOC. Instagram is the IFIOC. LinkedIn is just the Institute for Individual and Organizational Change. Website, IFIOC.com. And it's the same with both of you having people call in. There's nothing makes me happier than when people just email or call. I mean,
yeah.
It's not just people.
Yes.
Like today I got a phone call. And they're like, I can't believe you answered your phone. I'm like, who would answer my phone but me?
I called you once. You didn't answer.
Yeah. So I mean, it just is like, who's going to answer the phone? So I mean, it's the same thing with you guys.
Yeah.
Having callers yes. call in. It's just like, if you have questions, ask questions. Like
right.
we do this because we love people and we
yeah.
want everybody to learn and grow. And
yeah.
the only way that happens is by, you know, reaching out and checking the information and checking it all out. So.
Right. And before we head out, I want to make sure that the listeners understand that, you know, Casey works with a variety of different organizations. Some he mentioned, but just to double, you know, just to touch on it again, you know, he's presented at healthcare facilities, mental health facilities, addictions, corrections prisons, local and state government, law enforcement, probation, employment services, juvenile court services, family services, child welfare, schools, universities, aging and long-term care, blind and visually impaired services, deaf and hard of hearing services, Head Start, and Early Head Start. So it's a lot of different organizations that utilize his services. So if you guys have any type of, you know, capacity, you know, to host, you know, such an amazing program, please feel free to contact him because it is amazing. Definitely the best presentation I've ever been to.
I appreciate it.
For
that.
Sure, man. Yeah, I loved that. It.
I can't so. Follow that up. We just got to shut it down. Yeah. Give them our socials.
Call them.
All right.
Calculated Conversation out. Thank you so much. We want to thank Casey Jackson, you know, yes, for coming down here and making this trip. Tammy as well, right? Is that right? Okay.
Shout out Tammy.
She's running the camera. So you guys will be able to see some of this video online,
yes.
right? So,
okay. We're at the Communication Solution is our podcast as well. And there's a lot of things on our membership on our website because all the podcasts we do, we also broadcast the videos of them as well too. So if people want to listen to it, they can go to the Communication Solution for the podcast. And if you go to the membership on the IFIOC site, they've got the video version so they can watch all this too.
Nice, nice. Somebody told me that we were going to be on your podcast too.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be one of our podcasts.
Okay, dope.
Yeah.
Cool. We out. Thank you so much. Until next week, Calculated Conversation, everything.
Calculated everything.
Cool. With my full
capabilities. And now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. Ice Cube, it's not for the pop chart. So when should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch your brother blend, dope rhymes, but no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians, cuz at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to
spread yourself.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church in Portland. This two-day event celebrates the ancient tradition of welcoming back loved ones who have passed on. There will be altar building, Muertos face painting, sugar skull decorating, traditional Mexican food, drink, and live musical performances. It's a benefit for Transiciones, a program at Mount Hood Community College that has helped Latino women for close to 20 years in reaching their academic and career goals. Again, that's a Muertos.